Welcome to the Mumbrella Cast. I'm Tim Burrows. Joining me as usual from the studios of CBS Interactive, Mumbrella Deputy Editor Camille Alacon.
Hello.
And Scott, hop-along roadie of
our
agency house party.
This week, advertising heavy hitter Mark Collis joins Telstra as Director of Creativity.
UK retailer John Lewis launches a new TV ad. Could it be the most powerful ad of the year?
Ted launches at Cannes, and it's round two for the Australian Young Lions competition.
No love for the Aussies at this year's Webby Awards.
Strong regional showing at this year's Young Journalists of the Year Awards.
In TV, Nine's Logie disaster. Ten takes back the Arias and reveals its big new programming hope.
And Mumbrella, on the hunt to find the agency that's best at advertising itself. Now, it's fair to say there's been a bit of an upheaval in Telstra's marketing ranks of late, Tim. Mumbrella broke the story this week that former Leo Burnett creative director Mark Collis has been appointed Director of Creativity and Innovation for the telco. Tim, what's been going on at Telstra over the last couple of months, and why is this appointment so significant?
Well, this is quite an interesting one because it's a new role, this idea that you have a creative sitting agency side, almost, I guess, judging the creative work. Particularly interesting because he's done it himself. He's been, you know, executive creative director at various big agencies. Just come back from Japan, but before that he was at Leo Burnett. So, you know, experienced creative. Now, everyone obviously has different views on advertising because they do. Personally, I think Telstra's had a lot of pretty rubbish and ropey work over the last few years. They have a lot of work. They've got a big budget. They're a big company. So not all of it's been bad. But we didn't struggle too much to come up with our top 10 worst Telstra ads.
Yeah, top 10 with some in reserve as well.
Yes. Well, number one in the end for our worst one was the John McEnroe ad, which let's have a quick listen to there.
Pretty bad.
I said I would do it for $10,000.
Okay.
10%, all right.
We got a deal.
What?
You can't be serious.
Do I know you?
I don't think so, man. Come on.
You're famous, aren't you?
Hello? God, I don't believe this! What happened in Australia?
Australia? Tennis player, Pat Cash.
Get the coverage you need with Telstra Next G Network.
Yeah, so that was John McEnroe, which was probably one of the worst ones. You weren't a fan of that one,
yeah,
Scott?
That was crap.
Yeah, and that's difficult, you know, four or five agencies, lots of, lots and lots of different messages to get out there. Impossible for every piece of work to be good, I guess, Camille.
Mm. That's true. Well, in terms of our list...
You disagree, Scott. I think
if... You should be able to come up with good adverts. I don't think it's a bloody problem. I think the problem is that there's a bunch of people thinking something's good when it's not. And, you know, 10 misses with more in reserve means that you're getting it wrong a lot of the way.
Well, not everyone disagreed with the top 10 list that we put out there. I mean, a lot of people are a big fan of the Brad and Emma series. So it is, it was our personal take on what we thought was
a miss. I can't really think of any Telstra that's I've went, oh.
Apart from rabbits.
Makes you want to buy a Telstra phone.
Well, let's talk about another ad. Now, Telstra also launched a new ad campaign for its new touchscreen phone, the T-Hub, which featured the head of Alexander Bell, inventor of the telephone.
Not the real head.
Alexander Graham Bell.
Let's hear him.
Alexander Graham Bell here, inventor of the telephone. I'm back because Telstra is claiming to have improved on my invention with their T-Hub. Oh, they've added a thingamadoo, a Vizio whatchamacallit, some phonemic bookie. Poppycock.
Now, Scott, what did you think of that ad? Big fan of Keyboard Cat?
I think it's all right. I think it's done to death now, to be honest. And I think it's okay. Now, I was never really that much of a fan of it. I'm probably one of the few people in the world that wasn't that much a fan of it. I thought it was okay. I laughed a few times, but playing off Keyboard Cat became one of those things that everybody jumped on and I got quickly bored. The advert itself is pretty atrocious, but then I think that the whole Futurama-esque floating head in a jar.
It is very Futurama-esque.
It is Futurama. It's just taken exactly from Futurama. I mean, the head.
Why?
That's the...
Oh, because it's futuristic. Yeah. Gotcha. That took a while.
I thought that it was terrible for a fact that his Scottish accent sounds really rough as a badger's arse. And the whole watching Keyboard Cat with the steaming up the screen, just a load of bollocks, to be perfectly honest.
Now, moving on to our next topic. Before we do, we should probably explain why we called you Hopalong. As well.
I was locked out of my apartment the other night, and actually, during the day and during a moment of idiocy, gone to the roof of my building on the 14th floor, jumped onto my balcony on the 13th floor, and kind of dislocated my toe, broken it type thing.
Did you have a cape when you jumped off?
No, just my Spider-Man outfit. Oh, okay. Is that okay?
You're only a superhero on Twitter.
Yeah, so. I'm not a superhero on Twitter. I would definitely stop saying that.
I believe I saw a twit poll go up the other day. Is Scott Rohde famous on Twitter? from one of the podcast listeners.
And the answer to that is no, I'm not.
Anyway, there is a vague reason for asking this question. Now, a big UK retailer, John Lewis, which I think a little bit more upmarket than David Jones, I guess, has recently launched a new TVC featuring...
It's pretty much the same, I'd say.
Really?
No, I'd say it's more upmarket.
Anyway... They have launched a new TV ad featuring a reworked version of the original Billy Joel song, Always a Woman to Me.
Can you sing it, Tim?
No. Apparently it's been so successful that it's boosted the retailer's sales by a whopping 39.7%. Now, in a moment I'll ask Camille to sort of talk us through the process for the ad. But firstly, the reason for mentioning your foot was I wanted to know which made you cry more, Scott, the advert or the injury.
To be perfectly honest, I didn't cry during either. So there you go. I was crying inside and neither of them also.
Well, talk us through the ad, Camille.
It's a very simple premise. It's going through the life of a woman from when she was a baby. So it cuts to her being a baby to a kid, a teenager, young adult. She gets married, has her own kids. And then in the end, her as a grandmother with her grandchildren and husband. With the end line, our lifelong commitment to you, John Lewis.
Never knowingly undersold, as is their slogan.
To be honest, I was waiting to see on the grave. That's just me.
It was pretty much, I suppose, it was a mini movie. It was very emotive. It was a very strong narrative. So, yeah, the chicks would love it, I suppose.
I liked it.
I thought it was,
that's what I said.
I personally thought it was just a kind of remake of the old Xbox advert when they launched Xbox.
Everything's a bit of a remake, come on.
Yeah, but this is, I mean...
This is the person who's born, shoots into the air.
Shoots in the air and then lands in the grave, but they age throughout the whole thing. It's basically about saying, you know, that gamers, you know, you're a gamer for life. And when I saw that advert, it's just pretty much what I thought about when I saw it. And I thought... Is it a powerful advert? For the masses, yeah.
The reason we're talking about it is it's got massive media attention in the UK. All of the mainstream press have been writing about it.
As opposed to just industry folk, I'm picking an ad apart, basically.
Yes, the quote from The Observer, all over Britain, women are kneeling in front of their tellies, heads low, shoulders shaking, tears and mucus dripping from their reddened faces like rain from a suburban gutter.
A load of bollocks. I'm sorry. Come on, that's terrible.
Now,
over an advert?
Okay.
People need to get a grasp of their lives.
I wasn't going to admit this, but I'm going to.
You cried. You did not.
You're such a sap.
I was in the office on Sunday afternoon watching it, and the thing was, there's just a very, very nice little scene where the little girl looks up at the teacher, and it reminded me of my niece, and yeah, so I did get a bit weepy.
Did you have a... Were you a bit high as well?
No, I was at work. This is the funny thing.
I know.
I can't. Oh, we may edit this bit out.
No, let's not. Fake Jessie.
We're so not editing this out.
You're a Jessie.
Look, we spoke about TED coming to Australian shores the other week with the launch of the first full-scale TEDx event in Sydney this year. Now, TED is hitting the French Riviera as part of the TED franchise. TED At will be for the first time, will be held at the Cannes International Lion Awards. Tim, what will they be talking about and who's going to be there?
Well, firstly, I think you deserve congratulations for getting the word TED into six times in two sentences the most. That was certainly impressive.
Sorry, TED.
So, TED, as you just mentioned there, is coming to, or TEDx is having a sort of full-scale event in Sydney shortly. Scott and I, we made the cut, despite saying mean things about elitism, so we're at least going to be in the audience.
Especially Scott.
No doubt writing mean things on Twitter.
Not elite.
but it's interesting. It's I think, you know, one more reason for people to weigh up going to Cannes next month. So, interesting speakers. Foursquare founder Naveen Selvadari, game designers, Clay Shirky, who's big social media commentator, wrote Here Comes Everybody, and various other clever people.
It's weird because there's now TED, there's TED At, and there's TEDx. They're yeah. quickly diluting their brand.
so as my understanding, TED is the main conference. Yep. TEDx is independent people who sort of effectively franchise it. And TEDat is a little bit more sort of tied in with the main brand,
yeah.
would be my understanding.
Well, still at Cannes, the Young Lions competition in Australia has reached the second round. What's the Young Lions about, Tim?
So Young Lions is, I guess it's a way of getting some youth voices along to youth or the young talent in the industry along to Cannes. Now, I was lucky enough the year before last, actually, to be able to get into some of the Young Lions event at Cannes. And it's amazing because you get these giant halls of 800 people, 1,000 people seeing these big presentations. And then off in a side room, you'll see often people who are, incredibly powerful, influential, present to 30 people, the Young Lions. And it's kind of, it's that old thing of they probably don't even appreciate what they're seeing, So you'll get, they'll go and do the main presentation. The next day they'll come and talk, for instance, one of the ones I saw was Dave Droga was very good. The global marketing director of P&G, just Q&A with 20 or 30 people. So that's why it's worth going to for Young Lions. Basically, it's the young talent from, ad agencies. Generally, sort of pairs, particularly for print, but, individuals as well for the media category, for instance.
What's the cut-off for the young section?
Do you know what? I was trying to remember that. I think it's 28. It might be 30. Do you remember, wow. Camille?
No.
I believe it's 28, but we might even add a comment.
I'm trying to think of any ad agencies I know that the people are over 30 these days, to be honest.
Well, that's true, which perhaps explains why there are 84 people on the somewhat long shortlist. So the next stage is they get this, crazy 24 hours where they have to crack a brief, and the winning brief is the team that then goes and represents Australia when it goes to the sort of the same format in Cannes where they have 24 hours to come up with an amazing idea.
So what happens? Do they actually stay up for 24 hours, do you reckon? What, do they not sleep? Is that very healthy, really?
It's not the best creativity, when you're tired and on Red Bull and stuff.
On Red Bull, that's it.
Okay. Yeah, I think maybe worrying too much on behalf of their health. Because it is perhaps just a tad into the nanny state.
Which means you probably don't get a lot of sleep anyway.
Well, still with awards, what on earth happened at the Webbies this year? Pretty poor showing for Australia and New Zealand, particularly compared to last year.
Yeah, pretty much. I suppose the biggest win was for AIM Proximity in New Zealand in the telecommunications category. They got a Webby Award for their Yellow Pages work, the Yellow Treehouse.
This was the Treehouse, which is worth explaining what it was because it's been around for a little while now, isn't it? So what it was just this idea that basically, could you build a giant treehouse restaurant using services only sourced from the Yellow Pages, in a nutshell, including, I think, the digital edition of the Yellow Pages as well. Nice little project. Obviously, people were sort of able to follow it as it went through and then dine at it while it existed.
Mm. And the other winners were more People's Voice Awards, and that went to Profero Sydney for their NAPCAN work, Cyberbullying Affects Real Lives.
Do you hear that, Tim? Cyberbullying Affects
99
Real Lives.
99 Designs won Best People's Choice, People's Voice Choice. Pick a word, Camille. For their work in the Best Services and Applications category, and The Lonely Planet for the Travel category.
Scott, do you give weight to the Webbies?
Yeah, it's probably the best I can see. Look, they've got their place. I think it's just one of those things. It's just an awards ceremony. There's so many of them around these days, and cost to enter them takes a lot of your time to get your package together to get sent into them, and it's just a lot, really. I mean, especially these ones, the amount that they must have to go through must be massive. But that's pretty much my sentiment on it today.
Now, the finalists for the Young Journalists of the Year Awards were announced this week. Tim, regional journos did really well out of it, didn't they?
They did okay. I'm not sure I'd go as far as that. It was...
God, they're going to take the whole night, aren't they?
Yeah, so, I mean, great that Walkley's does the Young Journalists of the Year Awards. They're fair to say, it was the last year's event. It's not quite such grand scale as the Walkley's. It was kind of in a semi-fashionable, upstairs in a semi-fashionable bar when they announced the actual winners. So there were five categories: print, TV, radio, online, and photo, with three in each. So, some regional representation: the Werribee Star, the Bundaberg News Mail, Lots of TV representation as well. And then the other regional one was Leader Newspapers, if you count that as regional. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see where it goes. But the winner's announced on June the 23rd.
And Scott, you used to be a journalist, as you like to tell us. Any fun memories from the early days?
I've got a lot of fun memories from the early days, but why would I bore you to death with them and make you feel inferior as a journalist?
Inferior, okay. I'm just sitting here with my hands under my chin looking up at you.
Well, it's no different from every other week.
What year did you start in journalism?
Whilst I was still at college studying journalism, I was working every summer at papers like the Bears Den and Guy Herald, Air Advertiser. Basically, any time when I was studying journalism, any time I had a week off or any time I had weekends, I'd work for newspapers to get
experience. And what year did you start studying?
93 was or something like that.
Shorthand?
Yep, shorthand, 120 words a minute shorthand, T-line.
And how many words could you do now, do you reckon?
Oh, I can still do 100. I still write shorthand when I do all my meetings and everything. And my first front page newspaper story was a pipe bursting into a back garden and flooded someone's house. Classic headline of water nightmare.
My first front page was a councillor slagging off the residents of entire council estate, suggesting that they bomb it with the residents still inside.
And your easy. First front page, Camille?
Well, I started out in radio, actually, in production for 2GB. I didn't do local newspapers.
So no front news. What was your first newspaper? What was your first front page you ever had then?
I can't remember.
Wow, it means so much.
Something
to you.
On BNT, probably.
No, something to do with pharmacy stuff, pharmacy news.
That is the glamorous world of journalism.
Up from there, now I'm Umbrella.
Now on to TV. It was a disastrous night at the Logies for Nine, which picked up only one award, their worst of all time. Camille, we know who the losers are. Who are the big winners?
Well, the big winner, of course, was the 22-year-old veteran at Home and Away, Ray Ma. You got the gold Logie.
Yes, good speech as well, wasn't it?
Did you watch it? I didn't actually.
It was a good speech.
Takes me back to my youth.
Yeah, it was. You know, it was sort of self-deprecating. It was amusing. It was.
Did you cry?
No, I didn't cry. Oh, really? I'm going to so regret this, aren't I? Oh.
But it had all the great moments. I mean, Channel 7 did the best. It won 8 awards, followed by 10 with 7 awards.
MasterChef well-recognised as well for 10.
Yeah, Matt Preston is a hot new talent, outstanding new talent.
And lots of name checks for David Mott from The Stand, actually. Everyone was giving nods towards him for his contributions to these various things. He's the head of programming there. Now, he's also revealed the 10's next big hope in reality TV, which is Postmaster Chef, Camille.
Yeah, Undercover Boss. Now, I have to admit, when I was in the UK, I did see the ads for it. I don't know if it's... I don't think it was that big. It was just one of the shows. It's basically a company CEO secretly goes to the shop floor of his or her company and works with his staff at the coal face and sees, you know, how the company actually runs. So I suppose that's quite interesting. And it was the same guy who created Wife Swap and The Secret Millionaire.
Yeah, and I think this version that they're going to look at is going to be more based on the US version, which maybe is sort of slightly higher production values than the UK one, arguably. And in fairness to him, maybe we might be overhyping it a tad to suggest it's the next big thing. Basically, it was something he was able to talk about publicly. Okay. So
surely, like, are staff that stupid they don't recognize the boss of a company a lot of the time?
Well, for instance, the US one, they showed the clip we've got with the story was the boss of Hooters,
I suppose nobody really notices anything about Hooters apart from Hooters.
And what they did was they sent him along, and he's usually got a goatee, so they shaved off the goatee, they put some sort of glasses on him, they kind of said to the staff, oh look, we're doing a documentary about people who've been laid off from construction who are looking for entry level jobs in other industries. So there was a sort of cover story, and it, you know, people seemed to kind of
How did he get on?
Well, it was only a clip of about 7 minutes. So basically, by the time that they'd introduced him, that was it for the clip. So you'll have to. They bought the rights to the US series as well. So we will see the adventures in Hooters at some point.
Excellent. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, which you know, nothing wrong with having.
Are you going to cry at that as well, Tim?
Let's leave him alone. Yeah.
Now, the question is this going to be a theme that will go on week after week or just for today?
We'll stop today.
Anyway, still with 10, and it's all about 10 this week. They've also taken back the ARIA Awards, Camille.
They certainly have. Last year was at 9, and prior to that, 10 had had it for about 15 years. And the Irish have been going for around about 24, I think. So, yeah, it's I suppose they're, you know, banging on about their big event TV, and that's the whole idea. That's what 10 is known for their big finales of the reality TV shows. So I guess it's in keeping. So I don't, what happened last year, though? I wasn't here for it, but from what I gather, they weren't even sure if it was going to be broadcast.
It was all a bit last minute, yeah. It looked like for a while like it wouldn't get broadcast. And, you know, I guess it's relatively expensive. It's a little bit of a ratings risk. You know, is it going to be, are you going to get big enough acts? Is it going to be worth it? So it probably has a natural home with 10, I guess. Mm. If you're going to be with one of the, you know, one of the free-to-air channels, then I guess 10 skews the youngest. So from that point of view, it probably works. And still on ratings, it's been another week dominated by MasterChef, really.
Yeah, and it's very much so. And as we're recording this, Wednesday night ratings, it was their highest rating for the season so
1.
far.
1.8,
yeah,
was it?
Yeah, almost 1.8.
Which is, you know, for just a, yeah, you know, early in the,
it debuted with 1.69. So it's going from strength to strength. And as we've already said, it is having a halo effect on everything else. So the other shows like the 7 p.m. Project, Bondi Rescue this week, doing really well. And actually, one night on Monday nights, even though it wasn't the same time slot, the 7 p.m. Project rated above the primetime shows on 7. So The Zoo and Find My Family. So that's really interesting to watch, actually. Mm. I mean, we have to also keep in mind, though, the time shifted, the consolidated ratings now with the time shifted and live viewing. Serials on 7 like Brothers and Sisters, Desperate Housewives, Grey's Anatomy and Private Practice usually get between 10 to over 15% extra.
Yeah, I noticed Flash Forward did particularly well, yeah, for 7 last week. I think it's like, from memory, I think it was 35% uplift or something once the catch-up.
Whereas the likes of MasterChef is more immediate, so it's more a couple of percent up in terms of consolidated viewing.
Yeah, and I wonder whether stuff like Flash Forward, Scott, maybe that's just something to do with the demographic of the people sort of who watch it.
It's still
as
a good show. What actually shocks me the most is the fact that like 1.3 million Australians are watching A Current Affair. Why? Seriously, people, stop it. Turn over. Watch something else. Talk to your friend. Talk to anyone. Just stop watching crap TV.
It's entertaining, though, isn't
it? No, it's not. It's horrible.
I've found some entertaining moments.
I think it's just despicable as news.
Well, it's like
not
talk
news,
radio,
though, is it?
Really.
It's entertaining.
Exactly, but it parades itself as news.
Now, Mumbrella has launched a competition to find the agency that can create the best online ad to promote itself. Tim, talk us through it.
Well, I think you've explained the basics very well.
Thanks, Tim. Let's move on.
but allow me to get into the details. So you have a month. You have until May the 30th, so not quite a month anymore, to create an online ad that could run on Mumbrella for your agency, be it leaderboard, banner, medium rectangle. We give all the sizes and the details in the on the website. And we want all sorts of agencies to enter. Advertising agencies, digital agencies, PR agencies. Tell your story. The winner gets a whole bunch of free ads on Mumbrella.
Will they get an award? Will you give them something?
Well, the other part, as well as the free ads, is our sponsor is ThinkStock. So one of the rules is you have to use a ThinkStock image somewhere in your image.
Okay.
But for the competition, you get free access to ThinkStock as well. So you follow the process and you get your free registration. So the question is, Scott, will we see an entry from House Party or Hot House?
Yeah, you will, absolutely. Mm. Will you cry when it wins?
Yes, but there'll be bitter tears and disappointment.
Honest, I don't know if I could enter, seeing as we do this together.
And actually, what we have to nail down is the, and you know, I'd be interested
anyway
to get reaction. Yeah, so it probably would count against you, I think. But we haven't actually nailed down whether the final stage will be a reader vote or a jury vote.
Fair enough. You know, Camille, jealousy is a horrible thing.
Yes, but I kind of think it would look a bit odd if House Party won, I think.
Yeah.
But you know, I've got every confidence you won't.
No, they'll probably win the encouragement award, which I think is fair enough.
Yes. Mm. Yeah, they could do better award.
Just somebody get on with it.
Somebody said to me this week, what they really liked about the podcast was how Camille always got the better of Scott and in far fewer words.
Really? That's funny, because everybody kept saying to me they love the banter between us, but they can't stand her voice.
Well, that's it for now. Thank you to my co-hosts, Camille Alicon.
Thank you.
And Scott Rohde.
Hey, thanks, Tim.
And to CBS for the use of their studio. Production was by Georgina Pearson. That was the Mumbrella Cast. I'm Tim Burrows. Toodle pip.